Hello and welcome back to A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Surrey on the Budget. And I'm joined today with my co-host. He is Scotland's finest export and a man who is making ridiculous faces at me right now. It's Ross from Scotland Surrey. Ross, how are you today, sir?
I'm all good. I'm very surprised that there's been no abuse in the intro.
What kind of abuse would you expect?
Just
a
normal.
I'm a kind-hearted, you know, generously happy soul. I don't know what sort of negative things I could have put in there other than your Aberdeen-esque hoodie from a Dundee United fan.
Yeah, it's a red and white Adidas number that I'm wearing. But let's be honest, it's bitterly cold in Scotland if you're not one of our Scottish listeners.
Yeah, minus, I went out to defrost the car for the missus going away to a Christmas party with the baby, and it was minus six in the car. So, it's a bitterly cold day, but the heating's on full tilt here. So we will keep warm that way. But yeah, both got hoodies on as well. So we're going to get these on video very soon and probably have them up on the channel there as well. So people can actually see the wonderment that is the recording studios that we have for us. A green screen behind me and your living room with a dog a few moments ago as well. So,
Absolutely.
Good. So it's been a few weeks since we recorded and there's been a fair few things have happened. Obviously, we took a wee break just because the World Cup was on and there wasn't a whole heck of a lot going on in Surrey, it's fair to say, Russ. So we decided that it was an idea, just take a break rather than, you know, spouting absolute nonsense for an hour or trying to find topics. So we decided, take a break. And what have you been up to in your break, Russ? I know Surrey's kind of taken a back seat, but I also know that a new game has entered the fray for you.
Yeah, just like you say, wasn't really sure how the break was going to be. Obviously, we've seen breaks before in the summer and things for tournament football. I wasn't sure how this was going to be. It's been quite flat from a Surrey perspective for me. I think in the last 2 weeks, I think I've maybe bought three or four cards and done a couple of swaps. And I've certainly noticed a massive decrease in offers coming in. I think probably the community were originally pretty much looking forward to the Global Cup. For me, I've played it and I've got the league going. I think it's too easy, and not positionally for me, because I'm probably middle of all my leagues, but the fact that you get to swap out and introduce so many cards each game round, I just think it's taking the total skill away. I don't know if you remember, but back in the day when you were playing things like World Cup Dream Teams and things like that, which is what I kind of align this to, you would put your squad in, and then once you got to the quarterfinals, you'd maybe have 4 out of 11 left. For me, the fact that you're being able to change like 3-4 players every game round, it just means that guys are going out with full teams again and again. So yeah, it's not really worked the way that I thought it was going to work. Has it really captured and, you know, kept my attention? I'll be honest and say no. I've had the prizes. I think I've had 3 or 4 National Series cards. I don't know, have you had a few as well?
Yeah, I've had about 3 or 4, but I think I sold the first one for about £1.50, and then I decided just to give the other ones away. I've not got, as we say, it's kind of contrary to what I've done. Obviously, I've got the Dundee team as a collectible thing for myself, but that's purely for myself. But I hope I'll be able to use them at some point in the future. But these ones, it's purely collectability, and I don't have any use for them. So I've just been, you know, giving them away. I haven't decided to collect any of the teams. Do you know what? If Scotland had been there, it probably would have been different. We probably both would have been sat with a full squad of them sitting there, because it's, you know, that's cool to have your own country. But no, I've just been giving mine away. So, and it's, I could see where you're coming from in terms of, you know, that the eliminations taking away players from your team and things like that in some of the other competitions. I think they've done it to try and hold people's attention. I've obviously been quite soured on the whole thing, purely on the basis of, you know, as we spoke about, I'd built up a whole team of Spanish players, and then all of a sudden they changed the game weeks. And even for the coming weekend when Scotland's back, there's two fixtures missing because they don't fall into the game week. And again, doesn't make sense to me, but it's what they've done. And you know, it did definitely sour me on that. And it ended up meaning I took a whole bunch of money out of the platform, because, you know, I was like, well, I'll just take it out and use it for Christmas money instead. Do you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it really did sour me quite a bit on that. But yeah, I've been playing it. Have I been as interested? No. But what I have been doing is taking advantage of the low prices. I sold out the Spanish guys. I had a balance. I took out money. And I was able to then use the money that was left in to go and build up a second Scottish team. So I've now got two full Scottish teams sitting there. But I've also now been diversifying in other parts of it as well. So, you know, I've got like some Turks and the Eredivisie players and things like that as well, just because it just gives me more options going forward. But yeah, that was that. So, but yeah, the Global Cup itself, it's just there. And they have brought a lot of people into the platform. Whether they stay, how many of them are multi-accounts is interesting, because we've seen lots of stuff on Twitter with multi-accounts in recent days. And guys aren't even being subtle. It's like Chris 1, Chris 2, Chris 3, Chris 4, Chris 5. Wouldn't you pick a different name altogether? Rather than just adding an extra number on the end of it. I've seen a few things like that. But yeah, we'll see how it translates. It's like everything else we've said before, Russ. What does it translate into and where does it go next? So, it's been a fair bit of downtime. I know that I encouraged you to go and buy a new Xbox game. So we've both... you've been playing it more than I have. I can rarely get on the Xbox until bedtime when everybody's away to bed and I can dominate the living room. So I think I've had maybe... That's happened like twice. Twice in a fortnight, we have had a wee game of the new Call of Duty game, which I know you and my son have been playing in parties and things like that as well. Both of you significantly better than I. So I'll have just, to up the game on that one.
Yeah, just something different. It's been a long, long time since the days of the original Modern Warfare 2, and many of the boys that actually are playing Surrey now, and that have come from the foot sort of the local fantasy league and stuff, they would jump on back in the day. And God, that must have been about 2008, 2009, and what a game that was. And I've not really, apart from playing quite a bit of FIFA last year, obviously I really have put the lion's share of my sort of time into Surrear. A, making content where applicable, B, making statistical stuff and statistical data for people. I kind of dropped things. You know yourself, we used to play Football Manager against each other competitively. We've not even played FM22 against each other. Yeah. And I almost was at the point of putting, I think we've got three Xbox Ones in this house. You know, my daughter's got one, Alan's got one, and I've got one sitting here in the living room. And I thought, right, okay, well, I put it to bed finally and whatever. And then I've seen a few reviews, and obviously, it is a bit off topic, but yeah, just something to fill the time. And I've been watching the World Cup.
Yep.
In my Surrear downtime, I have been watching a lot of games. Obviously, my working pattern allows for that. Certainly, any Monday and Friday, I can sit on the sofa and just sit and do nothing and watch football, which is great. But yeah, it's been a case of watching the World Cup. I've been writing out my teams again and what changes I think I need to make. Because in the world of Surrear, I think you really do have to. I think, obviously, we're going to touch on it quite soon about the announcement and things, but both you and I have always been evolving our teams. And probably people would look and go, why are you guys always changing your teams? Why are you always buying and selling and stuff? And apart from the obvious of trying to make some money by buying and reselling for more, you know, we do probably look at our galleries and there'll be so many players that are within the last 60 days, and then there'll only be, a dozen or a handful or whatever that are over 3 months or 6 months in the galleries, sometimes usually a personal favourite or whatever. Just basically been dividing the time, having a little bit more me time. And like you say, didn't want to, when we had the wee break for the pod there just for a couple of weeks, it was a case of, would we have just been sitting making content for the sake of rolling it out? And we didn't want to do that. We wanted to basically refresh, have a look, and then actually start to make plans on what we're going to do. The plans for both of us, I'm guessing, have also now had to alter slightly with Surrear's announcement. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be interesting. What's your? Well, I know that you've made a video and that you've started getting back a wee bit more activity on your Surrear on a Budget YouTube channel. So I've not had a chance to listen to any of the videos or anything like that. But do you want to touch on the thresholds and the announcement, or do you want to touch on the actual World Cup itself? What do you want to go for?
Let's go World Cup first, then we can slide into the Surrear stuff. One of the reasons I didn't really want to cover it was purely on the basis of, you know, not being a massive fan of a lot of the political stuff around the World Cup, where it was being held, all this sort of thing. I'm not going to go into it because I don't want to, you know, drag everybody in a certain direction, because at the end of the day, we're interested in the football. But yeah, I very little interest. This is the first World Cup I can remember since 1990 where I've genuinely had very little interest in it. So I've been catching the games on Five Live because I've been working a different work pattern as well. So I've been having to listen to most of the games during the day and then, you know, catching games at night if I've got them. But, it, you know, early doors, it was very much, you know, quite a few upsets. And you always like to see that because it just shows you the beauty of football when you could see Saudi Arabia beating Argentina or, you know, some of these games that were happening. But yeah, since then into the latter stages, and now that we're recording on, you know, we're recording before the semi-finals. England were obviously defeated on Saturday night. Perhaps from the English perspective, controversially so, with you know, a lot of random and strange decisions. You could say the same for the Brazil game. There was a lot of random and different decisions. And then certainly you could say so for the Netherlands-Argentina game. Some horrendous decisions and a referee who loves to be centre of attention. And quite frankly, in my opinion, should never referee a game again because he's an absolute disgrace. And loves, and there's nothing worse. I posted it up on Twitter. The best referees are the ones you never see. You never see, you never notice, because they're there, they're managing the game and they're letting the game play rather than trying to be, you know, the game show host or whatever, you know, just getting themselves out there. So that soured it quite a bit. When you see things that are so blatantly, obviously cheating and things like that, and the referees are the ones that are conducting said cheating. So, yeah, you know, we're down to the last four. I'm going to be glad when it's done. but I like to see, I'd hope to see a France and probably Croatia final, to be perfectly honest. I would like to see Messi crash out in spectacular fashion. A lot of respect that, you know, a lot of respect was lost with the way he was acting to Louis van Gaal and things like that. It was pretty disgraceful. People won't see past Messi because they think he's the greatest, but honestly, the amount of hassle and, quite frankly, shit that Ronaldo's had in this last few weeks, whether it's brought on himself or whatever, and then to overlook it for Messi. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I would like to see France-Croatia final, and I think we'll see the French. You know, I think they would have enough creativity to break down the rather stubborn Croatia. So yeah, that's where I see it going, and hope it goes anyway. So, but to be honest, before then, I've got much bigger games to watch. So, but yeah, how have you found it?
Well, I was just going to ask you just before I go into my thoughts. Just any teams, any international teams that you've seen that kind of surprised you or impressed you? That,
you know, I was quite. And had I not been playing Serie A for the last 2 years now, basically, or just about 2 years, I would have said Japan was a surprise. But, you know, it was quite fun when you could actually watch like Japan and recognise so many of the players. And the rest of the world getting to see why teams like Celtic are picking up, you know, a number of their players, because they're a very good technical team, and it's very visible when you look at it. Obviously, Morocco got through. Sorry?
They were very fit as well.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? It's a style of football to play, and it's you know, you see some of the players, obviously you've got Dyson Mader, we know about his pace and things like that, and you could just see the relentless stuff going with it. And yeah, I was obviously very impressed with them. They got some huge results as well, and it was a shame to see them go out on penalties. I thought they could have maybe just gone a wee bit further, but nonetheless, they did really well. Morocco, obviously, are having a bit of a Leicester-style campaign, because, you know, we discussed that the other day. They're winning games with possession percentages in the 20s, which is, you know, you could say very anti-football, which, you know, I would argue probably is. They're playing on the counter-attack, But I mean, Leicester won the Premier League doing exactly that. And what was it, 33%, I think, for the season they had. So you could see, I mean, if it works and you could win the games and get yourself through, we would kill for Scotland to be in the semi-finals of the World Cup. And if it was played 11 men on the goal line, so you physically couldn't get the ball past them, then brilliant, we'll play for penalties. But it's, you know, that's pretty spectacular. And again, you look at Croatia, a population smaller than Scotland, and yet again in the latter stages of a massive competition. So you look at things like that and you think, right, okay, these countries are managing it, and they're managing it regularly, like Croatia. You know, what's the difference? What's the difference between what they've got set up and what we've got in this country? And I mean, obviously, we've made leaps and bounds, but I'm not going to go into the whole Scotland thing because it's not relevant at this point, but we've made leaps and bounds, but we're nowhere near that level yet. So it's very interesting to see, you know, smaller nations doing as well. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Any particular players that you either didn't know about or that you've just spotted for the first time, or even some of the surreal ones that you were like, oh, right, okay, I see what all the fuss is about?
Not really, if I'm being honest. But thanks to surreal, and obviously thanks to, you know, like, I remember back, obviously, like looking at some of the World Cups, like, 94 even, take 94, and you were seeing like Stoichkov and who was the bald lad, was that Lechkov and things like that. There was all the Bulgarian lads, because they had a good run that year, and there was players that you hadn't really heard of, because, you know, the world was much bigger at that point, because you didn't have internet, you know, unless you were reading all the magazines, you didn't have the first clue who was in the Nigeria squad or who was in, you know. But whereas these days you look at it, and I'm watching Senegal, and here comes Farmer Diedu onto the park, and I'm like, he was in my team at Christmas Day last year, you know, and things like that. So you're seeing players that you recognise purely because of that. Otherwise, they would have just been a name. You know, when Cameroon played in 90, nobody knew who Roger Milla or any of their players were. But all of a sudden, over the last, you know, 30 years, because of the internet and everything, the world's a much smaller place, and you kind of know a lot more of the players. So not really, if I'm being 100% honest, Russ. I did like to see, like, say, Gonda doing very well in the goal for the... Japan, but another goalkeeper who was a huge favourite of mine, thanks to Football Manager, was the Croatian goalkeeper Livakovic. I believe he might have actually been my goalkeeper in the Spurs game that we were, the game where I ended up at Spurs. We had the English league when I was at Wolves and went away someplace else, and then went to Spurs, and I'm pretty sure he was my goalkeeper at one of those two clubs. It's just a It was an easy pickup on FM. He's one of the highest rated goalkeepers, I think. So it's always fun to see those kind of things come to fruition, like Almada being at the World Cup and things like that. So yeah, that's really about it. What about yourself?
Yeah, obviously, I watched quite a bit of it. Like you, feels a bit weird. Winter World Cup, so many people have said that, though. So obviously just kind of in agreement rather than having to go into it. Obviously, at the start of the tournament, I put a £20 bet on Croatia to win at 50-1, so I'm quite hopeful and I'm still in with a chance. So yeah, I'm rooting all out for Croatia. Prior to that, I'll be honest, I've always liked the Netherlands, and I, you know, big Ronaldo fan, so was obviously hoping that Portugal did quite well. I think from the home nation perspective, Wales were disappointing.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, hey, you guys got there, you know, Scotland didn't, so fair play, you were at another, you know, you were at a World Cup, but I do think that maybe some of the Welsh key players were a wee bit sort of below par, you know, Bale, Ramsey, guys like that, they just didn't perform the way that we know that they actually can. Maybe slight end of a sort of half an era there for half their team. England, they did well. We had a decent decent World Cup, and I know that obviously there's a lot of banter and a lot of sort of mud throwing, let's say, going back and forward between Scotland and England when it comes to World Cups and England exiting and things. Hey, at the end of the day, you guys were there.
Can I just add into there, though, Russ? Just a statistic for you there. Just on the back of Harry Kane missing that penalty that I think might have just about landed. Scotland have never missed a penalty in knockout football in these big tournaments. It's an interesting fact. Might not have played any games, but we've still not missed a penalty in those either. So there you go.
was a way to say the fact that we've never got past round one.
means we haven't missed a penalty, Russ. So there you go.
Well, there is that. To be fair, I think, like most Scottish people, do you know what? We don't mind the England team. They've got some good players. I'm happy enough to watch them in the Premiership if I'm watching football over the weekend. It's the media that drives us insane. It's the absolutely, you know, the pro-England media that has you guys winning it, England winning it before a ball's even been kicked. I noticed there was a thing on Twitter I noticed. I just remember the guy's name was Josh. I don't know if it's anything more than that. But he put a 30-point World Cup sort of pointer thing on Twitter. It's quite interesting. And it's just about how the media puts so much pressure on the English players. Do you know what? Southgate, you know, conducts himself fantastically in the media. He's quite a likeable guy. I've no dislike for Southgate or any of the particular England players. I'm not a Harry Kane fan, but I think when it comes down to it, I think it's almost like, you know, you're almost waiting for it all to happen and to fail so that you can kind of say, well, look, do you know what? Maybe if your media went a little bit lower key for once, you would actually get maybe a wee bit more support from the other home nations. Would if Scotland were there, would we expect English and Welsh support? I don't think so. I don't think we would. However, it's been a slightly sort of deflating World Cup. I don't think having it at the time of year helped. I've put a few observations that I did notice were just some of the stadiums being a wee bit empty in the early in the group games. You can see some of the, you know, obviously England took a massive support over, so fair play. Argentina do have a huge support over there. You notice that also with likes of Morocco and things because of the geographics of getting there. Yeah. So some of those countries have got huge supports. And then I think there was the other day I was watching like the Netherlands and it was like normally you would just see sea orange at a big tournament and it was, you know, it was quite sparse. Yeah. So yeah, you know, you're looking at the end sort of the World Cup now. And yeah, I think like you, I'm hoping for I'm hoping for a Croatia Morocco final. Just
to mix things up.
Do you know what I openly said to you when I sent those statistics over to you by Messenger and things that, you know, it does feel a wee bit anti football for Morocco has getting so far. Fair play to them. They've managed to do it. Has it been great to watch? Have they scored lots of goals? No. You know, have they conceded lots and lots of fouls in comparison to other teams? Yes. Possession, I think one of the games was 23, one of the games was 27. They only managed 41% possession against Canada. I don't know. You know, you never know, though. Nobody expected Greece to win the Euros. So we'll wait and see. Sure. And at the end of the day, in 1978, it was apartly Scotland that were going to win the World Cup. And in truth and in fairness, although that obviously spectacularly failed, the actual, there was quite a lot of global expectancy on Scotland for that World Cup. And you could argue probably that out of the world's best 50 players, 7 or 8 of them at that point in time were Scottish. So, yeah, just disappointed not to be there. But yeah, I think that's all my World Cup ramblings.
Yeah, no, well, that's fair play. Do you know what? It is what it is. And we might get a wee bit of backlash for talking about it so much. But to be honest, it's the biggest thing in world football just now. So we kind of have to talk about what's going on in the world of football. But let's look at the world of Serie A now. So obviously over the last couple of weeks, there's been a few kind of feature additions to the game. We obviously had the counter offers, which I think has been working quite nicely. You know, where I've had a fair few where you've gone a wee bit back and forward and found a middle ground, and it's actually much better because it's better. If guys don't have, as we've said before, if guys don't have a means of communication on there, it's allowed us to do that. So that's been quite nice. And that's obviously been about 2-3 weeks that's been rolled out now. So I've obviously used it a wee bit because obviously I was rebuilding, from selling my Spanish players. One that's literally just breaking news at this moment in time, Russ, you won't have probably seen this yet, but it's just popped up on my Twitter. They've now made a list again option appear in your My Listings under the My Serie A. So you can actually now go in, and I've just went and done it just to check how it works. So if you're I don't know if it's just if they expire or if you cancel them, it gives you a little option right beside it now. Just it says list again. I'm going to try and let you see it there. If you can see that on there, it's brought up all the players. Not coming up properly. But anyway, they've done that now. So that's quite nice. But obviously, the big update was last week. Last Thursday, we got the news about the new thresholds and how that's going to look moving forward. So again, it put the community into a bit of a state of flux because they announced, what was it, Monday or Tuesday, that they were going to put this out on Thursday. And then you get the speculation and it's the endless stuff and you just read it. And it causes me to mute more people than it does otherwise, because you see stuff and you're like, it's just absolute drivel and nonsense. But they're... the Global All-Star competition will still be there, but it'll no longer have threshold winning capabilities attached to it from the 30th of January. And instead, there will be a new capped competition, which was discussed a few episodes ago, Russ, when it came into the NBA, that, you know, that could potentially replace maybe Underdog or something like that. And what they've actually done is they've not only have they used it to replace Underdog and Specialist, but it's that's where you're going to get your thresholds now. And it's spread across all the scarcities. So you're going to win, if you get over 250 points in limited, you get $5 worth of ETH, 50 for the rare, and I think it's 100 for the super rare and 250 for the unique. So it gives an option for progression and moving across the scarcities. The $5 doesn't seem like an awful lot, but when you consider what you're spending for your team, you know, it's reflective. You know, it's probably looking maybe like 10% if you're buying a team in the kind of 50 quid sort of mark, you're getting about 10% of it back each game week, which if you're doing that consistently, you'll pay for your team and then you'll be able to move it on. But it is capped. Your last 15 for the total team, Russ, 240 points, which caused a wee bit of, you know, conjecture, because now you're not getting the captain or the experience percentage on there either. So that caused a wee bit of conjecture there. But on the whole, I was very positive about it. The only one I would have liked to have seen, I'm not bothered about the captain, but certainly the percentage bonus, as Arne makes an appearance behind you. The main thing would be to get the, you know, I would like to see the percentage for the players added, not necessarily the captain. But beyond that, I think it's very positive on the whole. What about yourself, Russ? Have you any thoughts on that?
Delighted, obviously, to see the super rare threshold introduced. As a new super rare, or a player that's trying to progress into that level after, what, 18, 19 months of playing, I made the move to finally try and play that along with the rares. I think that's a really good incentive for people to make a further jump. So that's definitely part of your progression bar in my eyes. I didn't expect the limited thresholds. Never in a million years, I'll be honest. It's totally unexpected. But if it gets sort of the player base all engaged, you know, I've got a couple of friends that purely play limited. I think they've got maybe two or three red rare cards, but only for the future. You know, they basically had a wee bit of extra money and they bought a couple of rares, but they actually only play the limited competitions. And I was speaking to one of the guys, who's one of the football coaches at the Young Lads Football, where we coach together. And he plays limited, and he turned around and said that he was really happy with the fact that, you know, $5 for the threshold limited team. He's probably got, I think he's maybe got about 30 or 40 limited cards, mm-hmm. ranging in budget. You know, some of them are 50 pence, a pound, £2. And he's also got plane keepers and a couple of guys that he spent maybe 20, £25 on.
Yeah.
So, to get feedback from him, you know, as just a purely as a limited player, he's quite excited about it, you know, and $5 isn't a lot, but over the course of, like we were discussing on Saturday, over the course of 3 or 4 months, if he actually feels, because his limited cards are also got quite a bit of midweek utility, because a lot of them are Scottish, so obviously with the breaks, they're now needing to catch up on the league fixtures. He's looking and going, well, he can maybe win, you know, a tenner or $10 per week, and he can build that up 40 or 50 maybe over the course of a month. And lo and behold, by the summertime, he can maybe almost stretch to buying that rare keeper that allows him to then play limited and rare. Or you could maybe make a combination of maybe limited sales. So I think now my take on it, the threshold announcement probably in truth doesn't really affect me too much from a personal basis, putting out my teams. In some of my group chats and things like that I've got going, there was a wee bit of a initial probably negative reaction to it, and that's guys that aren't playing with a rare goalkeeper. They've maybe got a rare goalkeeper, but maybe not one that's playing.
So,
yeah, basically, I think the fact that the safety net, it's the 205 where you were getting a small amount of ETH, that's probably the guys that have been operating in those circles that are, you know, they're not hitting 250 very often, but they've got that backup that they're getting a wee return every so often. They're now not going to probably get very much.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think the question for those guys is, right, you know, I'm looking at a couple of galleries helping guys here, and one of the guys has got, he's only got about 10 rare cards.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now a question of, rather than trying to run two teams, he maybe just has to run one rare team and maybe either switch his attention to limited or take money out of the platform or be patient and just have, you know, some of it sit in. One of the other guys that I'm speaking to has about 35 rare cards. And my argument with him is, well, you've only got one goalkeeper, but you've got, you know, you've got 34 other cards. You're only going to be using five, and you might need maybe a couple as a backup. So rather than having even 10 of those cards that are sitting, I don't know, some of them are worth between 0.03 and 0.07008, something like that. You know, they're not big, huge £200-300 purchases, but they are purchases that have been made between sort of £30 to £100.
Yeah.
Well, rather than having them all sitting and hoping that they maybe increase in value and selling them for a profit, sell them and buy a keeper and run two teams.
That,
you know, it's not great because you're looking, going, oh, I've built up 35, 40 cards. And I get visually, you're looking at your gallery and seeing 35 or 40 assets. But let's be realistic about this, because if you have two playing teams every week and one of them is gaining you the threshold money pretty much on a solid basis, then you'll soon be able to buy additional players again.
And
simple
to be honest,
economics.
Yeah, like you say, having that visual there, but what's the point if you can't use them? You know, there's no point holding that amount of cards if you can't use them. Unless all you're doing is looking to trade, there really isn't any value in that. Yeah, like you say, I agree. That was the other negative, was the guys that are sitting with the DMP goalkeepers. I've seen a lot of people saying, yeah, but you can still use four and blah, 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 but you're needing every player to get a decisive at that point. And it's not going to happen on a consistent basis. And there were some that were like, oh yeah, but you can get, you know, four will last 50s, last 15s of, you know, around the 60 mark. Well, good luck getting that on a budget. Do you know what I mean? Like, you, if you're buying those four players, you're as well buying a goalkeeper and four players that are getting about the 50 mark, because the prices are good on some of the players just now. I mean, I've bought quite a lot in the last few weeks and sold quite a lot in the last few weeks as well still, because I've been buying at that low end. Because we discussed, I got offered a deal, I can't even remember what players, oh no, the guy wanted like half my gallery and was sending me a card, and it was worth like, what was it, 0.14 or 0.15 more than what I had. But I rejected it because I was going to be stuck with a player, I say stuck with a player that was worth like 0.6, but they're so difficult to trade just now. You know, you're not getting regular offers in for them. Whereas I'm getting regular offers in for players that are like 30, 40 quid, because that's where people are looking at. So from that aspect, yeah, I agree. If you've got too many players, it is worth selling down and buying a goalkeeper, because I don't see a scenario where you're going to even irregularly win the threshold in rare if you're sitting with, you know, just not having a goalkeeper. You're just not, it's not going to happen. You would probably be looking at the options of A, getting a limited team, or B, doing a lot of trading. It's going to be possible to build up. I did it. It took me, 4 months, Russ, to get my first goalkeeper? And that was purely from trading. There wasn't an extra penny went in. It was a situation I didn't think I would get to, but I was able to trade my way into it, and I got up and I managed to get Brad Guzan. He was my first goalkeeper. So it is possible. You just have to spend a lot of time doing it and dedicate to that. The auctions have been really, really soft. There's been a lot of them going overnight for goalkeepers. It hammered the price of, like, for example, I had David Marshall, when his average sale price was like 0.4 or 0.41. And two auctions went for sub 0.3 for a starting goalkeeper. So there are ways and means of doing it that way. the looking at the limited, just to go back to the limited one, in this current day and age, unless you've got a lot of disposable income free, it's very hard to get started in Serere and feel like you've actually got a chance to win something. You know, even if you go into, you know, All-Star Limited, you still need to have a strong team or you're not going to win anything. So now having the opportunity to say to you, to say to your mates, look, do you know what? See, for about 40, 50 quid max, you could build a team that's going to get you to the threshold each week and return you about 10% each game week. That's a lot easier of a sell. Now, when you look at it from like the, oh, it's $5 kind of thing, that's, you know, maybe almost dismissively we've kind of looked at it that way slightly because, you know, we're used to earning the $50, you know, for the rare threshold. But when you consider percentage-wise to what people are putting in, to what they're getting back, you know, as I say, getting a 10% return on a weekly basis is a lot. You know, and again, simple maths, as you say, do that 10 times, you've paid for your team and still got your team. Or you can enhance it, or you could be looking at taking that out every week. I know a lot of people who stick 5-10 quid on a coupon every week and get absolutely zero back. If they do, if they take their money for a month, buy a team, they're going to get a consistent return, you know, and I think people need to look at it that way. The cap side of things, Russ, I think that is going to benefit guys like us who do a lot of trading, a lot of research, because now you can't just buy your five players and stick them in and hope for the best every week. Because at some point, if your players are doing well enough, you're going to have to maybe tinker about, you know, if you get to your total being 241 for your five players, well, guess what? One of them is going to have to get traded out and something else in place. I don't think for the guys, there was a lot of guys saying, oh, but I can't afford to change that all the time and blah, blah, blah. If you're winning consistently, guess what? You're going to have the ETH and you will be able to do that. So I don't think that that's necessarily as big a concern as people think on the surface. You know, like if you've only got five or six players in your gallery, you know, yeah, you're going to have to try and sell one before you could put that team out the next week for the threshold. So I think if you've had the players getting that sort of a score to get you into a situation where your players are too high for it, you'll have won a few thresholds and will be able to trade and buy another player or two to fit in. So that was my other little kind of take on it, Russ. But I'm excited, looking forward. And I think, obviously, you'd start to do your super rares, as you mentioned, and being able to get 100 quid a week in it, back in off that. There's been a lot of guys who have said, you know what, I'm actually probably going to look at selling up my rares and moving up to the super rare because of the higher amount. So, you know, you are seeing people looking up rather than down, which we've seen so often in the last year and a half since the limiteds came into the game. A lot of people have looked down rather than up. But this is now given that progression opportunity. So obviously your next step will be uniques then, Russ. So that'll be interesting to see where you go with those bad boys.
No, I think for me, I just, I've been close to winning a super rare prize, I think twice, maybe three times out of the sort of 7, 8, 9 weeks that I've won. I narrowly missed 1 week, I think, by three places. I think this is a great opportunity, and especially with the downtime, and I think the market is starting to rise again, which is good news, because it was. It was, the market was on its arse. It was on the floor maybe what, about 10 days ago. I think it was probably at an all-time low, both in terms of price and activity. I think now we've started to see, I've certainly seen a little bit of an increase on base prices right across, and that includes limited, which is good to see as well. So at the end of the day, if the guys, if you know, if you've been sitting there and you've watched what happened with the limited earlier in the year, where, you know, you're, it was the same for me, you know, I think I bought a few keepers and things like that, and you bought them for like 60, 70 pounds, and you know, only a month ago they were selling for 25, and you're looking going, oh my God, you know, if you're only playing with limited at this point and you've maybe, say, invested or put in, you know, £100, whatever way you want to look at it, whether you see it as an investment or whether you just see it as a game. But at the same time, you're still putting in money, and if you've maybe put in £100 and then all of a sudden you're looking going, oh, if I sold everything tomorrow, I can only get 60. And it's, you know, it's the same, it works in the same principle with rare and super rare as well, depending on what time you joined. But yeah, I think it's just a boost. I think for the limited players, it's a good boost. And I'm really happy that it gives the base of the game, I think, a more solid foundation now. So rather than people playing limited and then dropping out and not playing, I think in theory it should keep the limited market relatively buoyant. I think obviously the trading aspect and getting offers for your cards, whether you've got them up for sale or not, is a positive thing. For the rares, I think it will give it. I think it'll take a little bit of time to settle, and I would not be surprised to see maybe a few amendments to last week's announcement. Like, I know that we've touched on XP and captain bonuses and things. I think they will reintroduce one. For me, I think it will be the XP, because we've had this purpose since the rare for training your players for XP to play across all, to give you that wee bit of advantage. And that's what separates and differentiates the scores in leaderboards. You know, if you've got a Giacomakis up front and he's got a plus 10 and I've got one and it's plus 8 and we've got exactly the same team out, then you finish above me. And that's what gives us a placing in the leaderboard. So for me, I would like to think that the XP will be, they'll revisit that. Whether it's the captain as well or not, I doubt that they will introduce it twice, because let's be honest, there has to be an element of this where Serie are looking at their product on a continual basis. And, you know, they're a smart team. Let's be honest, this isn't like some of the other projects and football things I think that we've seen in the past that have gone belly up. But the Serie guys seem a smart team. Nicholas himself is, he's quite quite pioneering in stature and in how he's, you know, conducting himself. He wouldn't have been sitting in front of Macron. If there was anything that wasn't sort of perceived, certainly as being a good product and an innovative product. So we're still really early in the Serie journey as a business. You know, I think it's been on two and a half years, I think, Serie. We've not had the third birthday yet, have we?
I'm not sure. The third one would have passed because I think like You'll Never Walk Alone's like 2019 on his start date and things like that. So yeah, we must have passed.
Right, okay.
You're right. It's a lot of innovation, you know, and the lower threshold going obviously is to help pay for the other things. You know, you can't just magic out of thin air. Just as a little point from the limiteds, obviously not just from limiteds, but across the board, specialist and underdog are going to go away, which is a little bit sad because I do like specialist, as we've discussed. I actually had just bought a team to go back into that again. But the one thing to think about from that aspect is 250 points wasn't going to win you anything in specialist. You were needing like, what, 270, 280, maybe 300 some weeks to win anything. But now for 250, you're going to actually win like $5 back at least. And you've still got the potential to win cards there as well in all the capped competitions. So you have, it does open up to a lot more, you know, lower end users, because we've discussed it. I said it on videos about a year ago. We said right back at the start of the podcast, the threshold competitions are a battle of, you know, against yourself. What five players can you pick? So you don't have to worry about what gallery Russ is playing with, what gallery You'll Never Walk Alone is playing with, what, you know, who anybody's playing with. You've just got to get through that 250 points. And if you get through that, you get your reward. And if you get to the cards over and above that, yeah, that's when you're against anybody else. But your first and foremost is get through that threshold. So that's the way I've always looked at it. And I think that is now being introduced at the low end. And Russ, how many times have we said that, you know, we've won a reward in limited and it was like a quid? Do you know what I mean? So even winning thresholds, we're winning more than that now. I'm intrigued to see the numbers when it goes live at the end of January, because pretty much all the leagues will be back apart from like Russia, Austria, and then obviously like the US and like J&K leagues and things like that. But all the European leagues will mostly be back. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of numbers are entering into these competitions. I think the limited one will have very high numbers. I think the rare, we'll probably see a drop-off from the All-Star numbers, if I'm being perfectly honest, just because of how many people have goalkeepers. So that's where it'll come back to for me. But I think there'll be a big uptake in the Super Rares, and I think that'll have a knock-on effect to the prices, because guys are looking. We've both seen it, Russ. I thought about buying them a couple of times, you know, where you're seeing ones that are maybe only like 40, 50, 60 quid for some of the Scottish ones, and you're like, that's a good card. Do you know what I mean? But they just don't score high enough. But now, to get through a £100 threshold, yeah, they would be enough. So suddenly that card isn't like 40, 50, 60 quid anymore. It's 70, 80, 90. So yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes. And I'll be keen to see what lineups that you're firing out at that point. I've obviously got a few. I've just had a look there. I've got 6 of the next 7 game weeks I could put out teams, which is just glorious after the last like 3 weeks of nothingness. So yeah, the Scottish League's back from this coming weekend, right through Christmas, games in between Christmas and New Year games, and then right the way through January. I think the only point we've got a break is when the Scottish Cup games are at the kind of middle of January. I think about 21st of January is when we've got a little break for that. But beyond that, I've actually got full teams to put out. So how are you looking at the restart of the Scottish leagues? Obviously, I just had a look at the league table and still bottom of the league, Russ. So how excited are you for the restart? Do you feel there's going to be any surprises, any uptake from teams, or where are you looking?
I always like when the transfer window opens.
Yeah.
Because obviously that's when teams can change. And I'm just one of these guys that I love the transfer windows, both the summer one and the winter one. And the winter ones are normally probably a bit more hopeful rather than actually, you know, too much happening. But,
yeah,
you know, I think the Scottish leagues, you know, Aberdeen have performed better in last season. St Johnstone have, as we've discussed on the pod before. Mm-hmm. Rangers obviously now have a new manager since the last time we did a pod. So Michael Beale has returned. Yeah. I certainly know quite a lot of sort of Rangers fans that I'm friends with and that I know that are quite happy with this appointment, obviously because of the training, etc., that he's obviously done with Stevie G and stuff in the past. So it'll be interesting. I genuinely can't see them catching Celtic.
No, they're already recruiting. Celtic are already strengthening what was already a very, very strong team. You know, Alistair Johnson coming in from Montreal. I believe that to personally be a backup option to Ralston when Juranovic heads off. But they've also now brought in the Yuki Kobayashi, left-sided centre-back, which was being craved by Postecoglou. So they're strengthening an already really strong team. I think they're already 9 points clear at the top of the league, so it'll be interesting to see how they continue on. There was a few speculation bits and pieces that I've seen in the last few days. Obviously, Hibs came out and said Ryan Porteous is not going to renew his contract. So they're probably likely to cash in on him with only having 6 months left on his contract. They're probably going to try and get a wee bit what they can for him. I think there's both Old Firm have been touted. I think there were 6 championship teams in England were touted with him as well. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up because obviously he's been, in terms of an SO5 score, he's been a monster. But it depends where he ends up. You know, does he end up as a bench player someplace and have an air in his place in a team? And then also, I think there was a couple other speculative ones. Like Ethan Erhan's come out and said he wants to move back to England again, you know, in the future. But that future could be as soon as January. So there's going to be a number of players in the Scottish League you're going to have to keep an eye on, because you can get a sudden shock move to League One in England and your £100 card is suddenly worth nothing because they're not eligible for SO5. So going to be interesting times, Russell. It's going to want to keep abreast of. Have you seen any other moves or anything that's that you're hoping might happen?
I suppose a couple of things that I think might happen. So obviously you've got Joe Lewis up at Aberdeen that's been sitting playing second fiddle to Kyle Roos. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling he might move in the window. There's a couple of Celtic fringe players. I think already it's been speculated with maybe Ediguchi,
yeah, maybe moving back to the J League. I've seen.
I think there'll be a couple of. Obviously, Celtic have brought in some good players. Haksabanovic looks quite good in particular there. And as I say, you look at that and go, well, along the back line, they've brought in a new centre back. They've already got Cameron Carter-Vickers. They've already got Gents on loan. They've already got Starfelt. And then they've got Stephen Welsh as well. When you're playing two, because Celtic never, let's be honest, really need to play any more at the back than two centre backs. So when they're playing two, there's really now quite a, there's a couple of extras there. So I think there'll be moves there. Rangers need an overhaul, let's be completely honest. The fact that one of the Champions League teams that was out this year, I think it was eight names were also in the Champions League. I think it was in 2019 when they put a team out. So, again, you're looking at that and thinking, okay. They're bound to, I know that Beale said that he's, guys are playing for places and that he'll look to use what he's got if they show their appetite and stuff. But yeah, they've got, is it Kent and Morelos both out of contract? There's going to be some moves. Porteous, like you say. Then you've also got a couple of guys at Hearts who I think might be on the move there as well. There's a couple of guys that have had a bit less game time than expected, I think, in particular. Peter Haring might move. I've got a feeling he might move back to Austria. He's a really decent player, but they've also got Benny Banning, I think it's Banningami, you pronounce it, the guy that was at Everton, who was really, really good. He was really, really good last year. So he's obviously on the way back. And there's quite a lot of changes, Stu.
And they've got Snodgrass and Kumarzoglu and things like that as well. They're in abundance. I did also see that the Hibs manager, Lee Johnson, had said he was going to be looking to clear out a lot of fringe players because apparently they had like a massive squad. So he was looking at moving out a lot of fringe players. They had a closed-door game against Wraith that I watched last week. It was in the snow. I think it was maybe Thursday, I think it was. I think it was Josh Campbell got the winner on that one. It was a 1-0 win. But yeah, it was quite interesting just to see, some of these comments from some of the managers that, obviously Hibs have slightly underperformed from where maybe they were, because I think they were third at one point and then they've went on a 6-game spell of not winning any games. So how hungry do they come back? And obviously they're playing against Rangers on Thursday night, which is not covered by a game week, nor is Aberdeen versus Celtic this weekend, because it's before the game week opens, which just seems bizarre. Open it at 12 instead. Games covered, but the biggest team in Scotland are not covered. The second biggest are not covered. So it's interesting to see this week. That weekend set of fixtures, there's only four games that are covered. And that is the only league that is in Challenger Europe, I believe, Russ, as well. So that's going to be an interesting one. 120 cards, and there's only eight teams that actually participated in those games. So that could be quite wide open. I'm actually in a bit of a dilemma because I've got obviously the Hibs goalkeeper and he's not going to be, usable. So I'm tempted to put one, because I've got more than two full teams, but I'm thinking, do I put one full team into Challenger Europe and then try to sneak through even the lower threshold with just four?
Or could you go for underdog?
I don't think underdog's open. There's one of them that isn't open. It's maybe specialist that isn't open. I can't get the medium site that Surrey used for their blog is down, and I can't get into the actual calendar to see what it's showing as. But yeah, I believe that one is, if underdog's an option, I could still put a team into underdog as well. So I'm keen to see, but I do have a limited team as well. But the four fixtures that are covered, Russ, I'll just quickly run through them. Hearts at home to Kilmarnock. Hearts, obviously, as you just mentioned, a lot of players, a lot of rotation. They'll be looking to kick on after the European exit. Next one, a big game for Dundee United away to Livingston on the plastic pitch there. Having to crack on, but Livingston at home is a notoriously difficult fixture, I think it's fair to say. Two teams that we were both looking at being bottom end teams, Ross County and St Johnstone, Russ. They battle it out up in Dingwall, and then Motherwell against St Mirren. So it's four games where I have a lot of players, outfield players to choose from in those ones. So any of those games, obviously your beloved Dundee United needing to kick on and try and get those points. Any other games stand out for you or anything that you're looking at there?
Yeah, I think we hopefully see a slightly different Dundee United in the second half of the season. It's quite tight here at the bottom still. It's not like lost cause sort of situation or anything like that. But the team does need to start winning. There's certainly the player base there. So let's just hopefully, you know, for me as a United fan, I just hope to see a wee bit of a climb up the table and avoiding relegation.
Yep.
But yeah, like you mentioned, obviously Hibs, 7 league games, I think, since the last one against Motherwell back in the 8th of October. Since then, I was actually having a look there, and obviously we beat them midweek at Tannadice, which was one of our rare recent wins. Yeah. But then they took 6 from Celtic. They got beat at home, 2-1 from St Johnstone. They beat St Mirren 3-0. So they're not on the greatest runs. In November, I think they lost to Kilmarnock, Ross County and Aberdeen. So I think that Hibs will bounce back. I think they've got some really, like, really good players, and they've also got a lot of key players. You know, Nisbet's back from injury, Aidan McGady's back. Obviously they've lost Martin Boyle, but between McGady and Nisbet being back, I think that probably gives them enough to get back up the table. I think Motherwell, and I think they've got St Mirren, is that right?
Motherwell, St Mirren, yep.
I think that could be quite tight. I wouldn't be surprised to see like a 0-0 or a 1-1. Ross County and St Johnstone could also be maybe relatively tight, although maybe, you know, we could see a goal. Maybe Jordan White, maybe Nicky Clark, Chris Kane, I'm not sure his status yet. I will be checking that. I'm not sure if he's fully back fit yet.
I haven't seen him in the friendlies anyway, because I was keeping an eye on that one. But Stevie May, obviously.
Stevie May.
You failed to mention the one that's in my gallery.
Hopefully
he gets a goal or two. But obviously I think we've both got Iacovitti from Ross County. One of the higher scoring defenders there as well. So do you know what, guys? There's a lot there for this coming weekend. Plenty of research you could do. I've obviously started doing the threshold videos again. I'm going to be doing a limited one over the next few days. I'm away to Glasgow, which is why we're recording early. I'm away to Glasgow on tomorrow morning, which is Tuesday. And wait for a couple of nights. So the videos might be a little delayed to the end of the week, but there'll be more stuff going up there. Obviously, have a look at Russ's website, scotlandsurreyor.co.uk. I know you did a lot of the charts and had different sections for each of the teams. Well worth having a look at, guys, if you're looking for, trying to find the players that are genuinely scoring you the points in SO5, because that's what it's based on. So it's... again, I've said it countless times, you're not going to find a better resource. And when you look at the lineups that go into the Play Sharper, you'll see that Russ's on the whole are probably around about the highest percentage of accuracy. So you're not going to find much better data than that. And it's all fact-based, there's no opinion in it. That's the best thing about the charts that Russ has done, that there's absolutely no opinion in it. It's purely statistic-based. And again, you can't argue with stats, can you, Russ? So think that'd be a good point to go and have a look at there. I don't have anything else for this return episode, Russ. Have you anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think we were keen to get back, and I think we were kind of probably our hand was slightly forced to come back a week earlier due to Surreyor's big announcement, which we didn't see coming, and we thought, you know, we couldn't just be reactive and sit on it. And I know that there are, you know, there'll be lots of guys who've given narrative, and there's lots of sort of contributors in the community of all, whether it's been just on social media or, you know, the other guys that make videos and pods and things and stuff. So I think we felt that we did have to kind of come back in a wee bit earlier, put our own little spin on things, but without going too deep and too heavy on it. I think there's a lot of it's just we'll wait and see. But certainly from our perspective, I know that just to finish up, obviously I have revamped the website. Each of the teams does have its own page. It's got its own charts and things. I do plan on doing quite a bit more content if time permits in the new year. I know that you're back doing videos, and I know that you're doing the same. We're both trying to get a little bit more content out there, just to help guys and things. As always, DMs are always open. I'll be putting the Play Sharper Scottish League lineups up probably tomorrow morning, or maybe tonight, certainly for the Rangers Hibs one. But for the rest, it's not going to make any difference, obviously, because they're not scoring the league. But I will still do the lineups, and we'll maybe start to look at some players that you guys should be looking out for from the Scottish leagues in the next couple of episodes.
Yeah, absolutely, because there's a ton of utility coming up. We'll get back to our regular time next week. So the pod will probably be out next Thursday. That'll be the last one before Christmas, Russ. So I hope you have a festive hat on in that one. And I'll keep this white bit of the beard coming through, maybe look like a fat Santa. We'll see how we get on. But yeah, thanks very much for all the support, guys. We really appreciate it. And, you know, it means a lot when we, you know, get the feedback and things like that as well. So we'll try and keep you abreast of the Scottish information as best we can and give you our opinions on everything else. And we'll take care and we'll speak to you all again soon.